Such a privilege to be able to stand before precious saints of God and share with each one here that love of God and His Word, His precious truth with one another. Do we need it? Absolutely. We don't go a day, do we, without needing to feast on God's Word and what He has for us. Hallelujah. What do we gain from it? Glory to God. Faith. That faith, as we feast at the table, it comes from hearing God's Word. That's the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thankful for this meeting here. I've never been here, but I have a cassette tape that was made in 1980 here with my Uncle Harley preaching the Word. And I got to hear something unusual, and I hear it every time I play that tape. Brother Hill's grandchildren singing. And I'll never forget the song, God's Family. And it you could tell it was such a joy that they were singing the joy of the Lord in their hearts as being a part of God's family. And that's part of something I'll never forget. Also, I remember a song that is played in that particular cassette tape called Power in the Blood. And I heard a brother, I am assuming, playing either the trumpet or the trombone. Do any of you know older saints, whether or not that was a trombone or a trumpet? Probably was, but that was beautiful, beautiful music. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, what if I should have brought that. Maybe should the Lord tarry next year, I'll bring that cassette tape and let the brothers play just a little portion for you. It'll bring back memories. It does to me because it is my uncle speaking. And Brother Hill was such a inspiration and a something that my uncle needed at the time as a very, very young preacher and pastor. In fact, Brother Hill put him up here, if I remember correctly. And so they got a good start, thanks to Brother Hill and, of course, to the Lord. And so my uncle, just to let you know, pastored the church that I just came from down in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, Beams of Light Church. He pastored there. He was in his 50th year. He pastored from 1960 till 2010. And he was, for about a year or a year and a half, preparing me to get that mantle passed on. And that's where I got started as far as the calling of being a pastor. And that wasn't the first advent of being called. When I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost on my 14th birthday in a little Assembly of God church, believe it or not, that I was given a word from someone that, well, I think I was kin to him. I'm not sure. But they said, Sonny, that's what they called me. It's a nickname. You are called to preach. And I was 14 years old. Guess what my reaction was? Not going to be me. I'm not going to do that. My dad was already a pastor. My uncles were pastors. My aunt was a pastor. I don't know if any of you remember Sister Eileen Fulton. But she pastored. She was my dad's and Uncle Harley's sister. But see, I had a little bit of a legacy there, didn't I? And I had some big shoes to fill as far as being a pastor was concerned. But you know what? I must have been a real, real tough case as far as the Lord was concerned, because it took him all those years to finally get me molded, finally get me in a place where he could say, look, son, you either obey, you either give yourself, or you're not going to make it. You're not going to do all the things that I have prepared for you. You know, he has a preparation, a plan for every life that is a born-again believer. He has a plan. And he is faithful to fulfill that plan. Paul puts it this way, I am persuaded. What does that mean? I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that he who hath begun a good work in you and you and you and you and you and you, all of us, will perform it until the day the Lord comes back. He will. And he enables us to do just exactly what he has planned for us to do. Now, it may take some of us who are pretty tough ones to break quite a few years, but when we finally see it, when we finally realize that it was God in our lives all along. There were many times walking out there, out from under the fellowship of the Lord, out from under his plan, rebelling, going the other direction, going the way of the world. Many times that I probably should have been taken out. But the Lord had a plan. And when I look back and see the times and the events in my life that should have taken me out, the Lord had a different plan. Well, why did he allow me to go through all that? He had a reason, he had a purpose. Now, if I hadn't learned from those times of being out from under his hand of protection, being out from under his light, and being walking in the way of the world, if I hadn't have been there and experienced that, how can I tell others who are going through some of the same battles? Is anybody going through a battle? Do we have battles? Where do they come from? Powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where we come from. Brother Henry, I don't think I have as many pages as you do. But nonetheless, there's a lot of times when these things don't mean a thing.
That's right.
They end up going. I even remember experiencing a Sunday, and I tried to get started in my notes and trying to bring the word, and the Holy Spirit had something very different planned, a very different word that the people needed to hear at that time. And I just kept trying to get back in my notes and get back in my notes. And finally, I just took them and threw them away on the floor. Amen. I'm not using these. I can't. But today we'll try to bring what the Lord has given me through the week to speak here in this assembly. Praise God. Again, I appreciate you all. Appreciate Brother Jesse and allowing us to be able to share with you all. And I thank you, Brother Henry, for what you shared last night. That was good. It was strength. You said a few things that I thought you were going to start meddling into this. But then I had to stop and think, well, that's the Word of God. He ain't meddling. He's going to confirm a few things. Praise the Lord. I couldn't help but hearing this morning, as we brought forth our prayer requests, many, many, many requests for family. Many, many requests for family. Sons, daughters, children, grandchildren, even our own, maybe our parents, going through battles. Not only physical battles, but spiritual battles. And I heard many mentioning families. And I heard one brother. And as the Lord leads, brother, right here, I'd really like to lay hands on you and pray for you after the service, because I've gone through some of the things that you're experiencing. And I can tell you the Lord, he's not only able, but he will deliver you. He will deliver and reconcile your marriage to a point where you thought was impossible. He'll make it possible. So as the Lord allows, I'd love to pray for you. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Nahum that speaks of something that the enemy is using today in our society, especially among our young people, that is taking this whole dispensation, if you will, this age, period of time that is in our lives, it's taking a lot of lives. And the word that the scripture uses is witchcraft. Now, what do you think of when you think of witchcraft? Voodoos and stuff like that. Well, the Greek word used for witchcraft, especially the one in Galatians, is the word pharmaka. What does that sound like to you? Pharmacy. What does pharmacy speak to you as? Now, we usually think of a pharmacy as a place we go to get either over-the-counter or prescription drugs, right? But that word, that very same word, is used in other places. The scripture in Nahum, and the reason I'm really referring to it is it speaks of families. One that sells nations and families. And who is that? The enemy. Because, this is Nahum 3:4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Is he affecting your family? Is he affecting my family? Yes. Has he affected my family? Yes. He has done all he could to take my children down to the pits. In fact, he did take them down to the pits. I have a son and a daughter that both lived in the drug culture, in the homosexual culture. They were hitting bottom, living on the streets of Los Angeles. And get this, both of them, born again. Both of them considered a child of God. And both of them, the enemy took hold of. But God allowed that. If you could only see him today. And where the Lord brought him to. With his great power. Well, let me tell you. If you've got family that is out there. Living in that kind of a lifestyle. And just. Some of them do that for recreation. You know that? They don't hit rock bottom necessarily. And some of them are even addicted to prescription drugs. I've got a relative that is today. He cannot do without Lortab. No, he cannot get up and start functioning until he has some Lortab. Born again, spirit-filled, musician at the church in Sepulpa, but he is hooked on prescription drugs. So it does affect our families, doesn't it? All around in our families. What do we do about it? If we know our enemy and we know the tools that he's using against our families, against our loved ones, and even against our neighbors, our friends, even against our brothers and sisters in our church, the enemy doesn't care who he takes down, does he? He don't care. He doesn't go selecting different ones. He does go about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But the key word there is he has to look for him. It says seeking. Can he find a spirit-filled Christian that is on their knees praying before God to deliver their son, their daughter, to deliver their loved one from his wiles? Much he can do about that. That's what we do. We stay on our knees. We don't give up. There were many times in my life that I was ready to give up on my children. They were on the street. My daughter was living out of her car. My son was living underneath overpasses in Los Angeles on the freeways. That's pretty well rock bottom. And I didn't know about it at the time. Not until they started believing in God as their deliverer, as the restorer of their soul, as one who was standing ready just to embrace them and bring them close to his bosom and call them what they are, my son, my daughter. Welcome back. It's like the man said of the prodigal son. When his son was coming back, what do? Did he wait till he got up there to the house? No, he saw him from afar off. And he ran to him. And embraced him. Put a robe on him. Hallelujah. Killed the fatted calf and had a calf and had a feast. And he made this statement. My son, who was dead, is now alive. Hallelujah. When we come home, when we see those of our loved ones come home to the Lord Jesus Christ, to their Father, when we see them come home and their lives start to take a whole new turn, I'd love for you to be able to hear the testimonies of both my son and my daughter, especially my son, but I, of course, I love them both the same. But they are nowhere near where they were. They are living for the Lord. They are testifying for the Lord. They are giving their testimony as what God can do in anybody's life to everybody they can talk to. That's what it's all about. And if you yourself have gone through those battles that we talked about earlier, you can tell others how God delivered you. And how he is delivering you. And then you can walk in that confidence, knowing him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that old witchcraft of drugs, I believe, is probably the enemy's number one weapon nowadays. There are so many affected by it. And the heartbreaking thing is there are so many within the body that are affected by it, either directly or indirectly. The enemy, of course, I stand on this. He is always coming against the body. He's always doing what he can against the church. But we can always remind him, shake our finger right in his face. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Jesus, the head of this church, said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So you rave on, enemy. You're defeated. We remind him of that day in and day out. Let the Lord take hold of those lies. Don't give up on anybody. No matter how far gone you think they might be, don't give up. Stay on your knees before the Lord. Stay on your knees before the throne of grace. And you'll see the mighty hand of God work. And it'll be at a time that he appoints. It'll be at a time when you need it most to see it happen. It happened in my kids. I was being at a state of mind that I was kind of discouraged and disappointed. I was a new pastor down there in Sepulpa. I had taken the reins from I didn't take them. They were given to me from my Uncle Harley. Been there at that church almost 50 years. And I'm wet behind the ears. But I have the one thing I needed. And that's the Holy Spirit. Right here. He is the one I don't. He is the one who teaches us in all things. Guides us into all the truth. Amen? We can't do it without him. And I just trust in him and rely on him day in and day out. You know, my watch says almost 12, so you guys are lucky because we'll have to break for lunch, right? Not so. I never did set my watch back. Praise God. Keep on trusting him. What are some of the things that we really need to be doing as born-again, spirit-filled Christians? And by the way, Brother Henry mentioned it last night. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're missing out. You're missing out on that double portion. You need it. I need it. So if you're not, it's not something that you can buy. It's not something that you have to really travail over necessarily. It is something that is a free gift. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's a promise from the Lord. And He promised everything that He said concerning the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't leave this convention. Don't leave this meeting. If you're not filled, get that double portion in your lives. It'll make such a mighty change. The Word will start becoming so clear and brilliant because it's the Holy Spirit teaching and guiding in all the truth. You'll see things, and I still do. You'll see things in a scripture that you've read probably 10 times or more. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, that's what it says right there. And I'm going, wow, Lord, how come I didn't see it? Because I wasn't yielded to the Holy Spirit completely. That is the key for the battle we're going through, is to have that weapon. What is one of the weapons of the Spirit? Weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing every thought into captivity. I'm going to talk a little bit about thoughts as time allows. But we have weapons like helmet of salvation. Step one, Brother Henry, helmet of salvation. What else do we have? Breastplate. What does that breastplate do for us? That's the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Ours? No. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. How about the, here's one I really like. Sword, or the shield of faith. What does that shield of faith do? Quenches, puts them out, the fiery darts of the devil. You just raise that shield of faith up, tell the devil to take a hike. Because all his fiery darts are not going to do one bit of good as long as we take that whole armor of God. That's what Paul told us to do. He said, he didn't say anything about taking up a few of them as you need them. He said, take them all. And having done all, to do what? Stand. Did he just say that one time? No, he said it about three times. Stand. Stand, stand, stand. How do we stand? We take on that armor of God. What is another chink of our armor? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's a sharp, double-edged sword. Read Hebrews. Dividing asunder, soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Hallelujah. Penetrates into the depths of our hearts, that Word does. And is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind. And we're going to talk some more about the mind in just a minute. Leading up to it. What is another one? Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we have to be prepared to tell somebody. Because we have the gospel. And wherever we walk, with those feet shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we can tell others. Can we not? Our relationship with the Lord isn't just a within these walls relationship, is it? Why would He do that? He wants us out there bearing fruit. That's one of the things He said. Love one another and bear fruit. Not just a little bit either. More and much more. Keep it going. That your fruit will remain. Amen. That's one of His challenges for us. One other weapon that we have. And I was leading up to this. Praying in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit. Just say, bless God, bless me, bless my children, bless us four, no more. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love this food. Thank you, Lord. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. That's some of the ones we learned, isn't it? As children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I did that prayer. Now, praying in the Spirit is a whole lot different experience. What is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us? Romans 8, 26. Someone said it. Intercede. He makes intercession. How does He do that? If we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings what we're praying before the Lord with groanings that cannot be uttered. He intercedes for us. Especially when we get ourselves in a place where the old enemy is messing with our mind and taking away our concentration on Him. Does He ever do that to you? Get your mind wandering all over the place about all kinds of different things. Like, what are we going to have for dinner? Do I have enough gas in the car to get to the church? Stuff like that. No. When we're praying in the Spirit, He is interceding for us with those groanings that we cannot utter. It says that when we don't know how to pray as we ought, and we just turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to do that, to just give it to Him. Holy Spirit, you know the thoughts and intents of my heart. You know exactly where I'm coming from. You know exactly where I want to go. You see the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And He will start to intercede. You know, we have another intercessor too. He's called the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's also interceding for us. Hallelujah. We've got a double whammy there. We got people interceding for us. And yes, we have a body. We have saints. We have brothers and sisters on their knees interceding for us. Day in and day out. Taking your prayer request. Oh, I love that movie War Room, where Sister Claire is just, she is at war. And she just gets hold of the throne. And then when she sees God act, when she sees God answer, first thing out of her mouth is, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what You've done. You've heard my prayer and You're answering my prayer. Hallelujah. That's a good inspirational movie if you haven't seen it. Hallelujah. Well, I hate to say this, but back to witchcraft. In our minds. Galatians 5:20 mentions witchcraft. Also mentions drunkenness. Is alcohol a problem in our society today? I'm afraid so. But Romans 12, especially 12:2, here's some of our combating material in the Word of God. Tells us to do this. Romans 12:2. I know you're probably familiar with this scripture, but it says, and be not conformed to the world. Now, the world would be such that the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to make the world really look good. He wants the young people to think that the drugs are the only way to go. Doesn't he, honey? He gets a hold of our minds. He gets a hold of the young people's mind. And what are drugs? What do drugs do to the mind? Almost all of them alter the mind. In other words, you can't think straight. The meds, the pharmaceuticals, the drugs take over the mind and you can't think clearly. That's what the devil's tool and what he uses. And he makes the young people think that that's what they need. That's what they need to get. My daughter told me this one time. She said, I don't take drugs other than to make me feel good to the point that everything else goes away. You know, she gets into a world and a state of mind where nothing matters. And that's what the drugs do. They're mind altering to that point. And I've heard it stated, drugs are what it's all about. Drugs is what I need. I've heard it stated that. My friend told me that's the only way to go. Tool of the devil. Be not conformed to this world, because it's going to destroy you. But be ye transformed by doing what? By the renewing of your mind. And how are you going to renew your mind? Oh, yes. Washing and regeneration of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He left this Word of God for us? What would we do without the Word of God? Probably wouldn't even come to the knowledge of the truth, would we? Probably wouldn't even come to the salvation message, because that's where it is. What would we do without His Word? The truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. But when we renew our mind, it helps us to prove what is that good? That's good, isn't it? And acceptable. That's good. But here's the one we want to get to. And perfect, complete, mature word. In His will. That's what we want. You want to walk in His perfect will? Renew your mind. Every day. Before the Lord. I made a little note here. It says it's easier to die once for God than to live always the surrendered life. Do you understand what that means? Yeah, we yield once. But we don't keep yielded. Nothing so pleases God as daily. What's daily? Day in, day out, every day. Surrendering unto Him. Daily surrender. The sacrificed and the yielded will, the yielded will, tied by cords to His altar. His altar. Isn't that where we want to be? If we have that attitude, it's the only reasonable attitude that we can assume. If God be all we profess to believe, He is worthy of all that we are. Isn't that true? As a son and a daughter of God? Sure. It's worth it. But we are reminded that the world is ever seeking to mold us to its will. And we need the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Every day. Day in and day out. We should always get up thanking. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, amazing grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came. Thank you that you are in control of my life. I yield all to you. I yield all myself to you every day. You think we could ever reach the point of being in the perfect will of God if we do this? I believe so. I believe we can attain to that. That's called maturity. That's becoming mature sons and daughters of God, isn't it? Isn't that what He wants us to be? That full overcomer. Yes. Does He want a bunch of mamby-pambies in His bride? I don't like to use that expression, but I heard it before. No. Would you marry a bride that had all kinds of problems? No. I don't think Jesus would either. Hallelujah. He wants that full overcomer, doesn't He? To be a part of His bride. Isn't that what we're reaching for? Isn't that our prize? Prize the calling. Hallelujah. We need to be transformed. That is, transfigured by the renewing of our mind. We must please God. We must please our bridegroom. And we will be pleased, definitely, with the will of God. Here are some other things, and I'm going to go through some of these scriptures now very quickly because I've just gotten half a page done. And I don't have enough time to go through the rest of it. But listen to some of the things that we are expected to do as ministers. Oh, just the ministers? Let me ask you a question. Who are the ministers? We are all ministers, aren't we? We've been assigned a task of the ministry. And that's to tell others. Tell others. Proclaim His good word, His gospel. Praise God. So here are a few things that I'm going to quote and read to you out of Romans 12 again. Starting in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, practice and be what the Lord is. What does He show us? Unconditional love. That's what love, let love be without dissimulation. You know, I love you because, or I don't like you because, and all this junk. No. I love you because you're my brother and you're my sister. I love you. I love you with that love of the Lord that He shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Love one another without any dissimulation. There's one. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Philippians 4:18. Yeah. Think on these things. Whatever things are true and honorable. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are of good report. Whatsoever things are lovely. Think on these things. That's where He wants our mind. Thinking on His things. The love of God. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Are these some things that is laid out here in the Word for us to be doing? Sure. We need to be living this Word. We're not to just be taking it in and hearing it and say it was good. But no, we need to be walking in it, talking in it, giving it out everywhere we go, even in the line of Walmart. We can tell somebody because usually there's somebody in line with you, isn't there? How many of you ever get the chance to go jumping in line and nobody comes in behind you? Nah, that doesn't happen very often. Not there. But you have opportunity to share God's Word. And you know, if you are so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the presence of the Lord in your life, guess what? They're going to see it. And it's going to start going through their minds. Man, I'd like to have what they've got. Don't we really want to exude that kind of a personality that others around us would want what we have? Too many times, and I don't like saying this, but too many times we are so much like the world they can't tell the difference. They can't tell that we are that born-again, Spirit-filled believer. And I believe, I'm going to wrap it up, I believe that this is what's happened to a lot of our young people today. I know here you have a lot of young people. And I am blessed beyond measure at Grace Assembly in Burlingame, Kansas, to have a group of young people there, teenagers. God placed them there because He knew that was my desire, was towards them. And I'm going to do everything the Lord gives me to do. I don't care what it is, to be able to minister to these young people that are out there in that world saying drugs are good. They need our help. They need to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to be brought up in His Word to know the truth. What's going to do to them? That truth's going to set them free. Praise God. Pray for our little group there at Grace Assembly, especially our young people.